coming this evening, it's my pleasure to talk about Canada and the impact of the First World War. Now, we are entering a potentially heady period of commemoration from 2014 to 2018. There will be worldwide activities and events to commemorate the First World War. Now, one might expect a solemn series of events to mark the cataclysm that erupted 100 years ago. The war pitted massive armies of civilian soldiers against one another and resulted in the death of 9 million on the battlefield. Another 22 million were maimed in body, in mind, and in spirit. Countless millions more civilians were killed, died of starvation, disease, or genocide. Europe was remade. Empires were destroyed. Austria-Hungary was shattered. Russia was racked by revolution. Germany was wrecked and vengeful. France was spent and Britain shaken forever. La guerre a été marquée par une montée en puissance des États-Unis et l'émergence de la Russie communiste. L'échec a été ramené au Moyen-Orient avec des conséquences sanglantes. De nouveaux pays ont été créés par les vainqueurs, souvent sans regard pour les territoires ancestraux et les liens tribaux. These events are neither to be cheered nor celebrated, but they certainly can't be ignored. They should be taught, understood, and commemorated. The First World War forever changed world history, and 100 years later, we are still feeling its effects. Now, for Canada, the war was profound. It transformed our nation. We were never again the same. This is the event that some Canadians call our War of Independence. Others agonize over the terrible losses and the grim legacy of disunity. Just as we cannot ignore the turbulent consequences of the war had around the world, so we cannot ignore its disruptive impacts at home. To do so would be to deny who we were and who we are. At a substantial level, I think, we as Canadians will mark the First World War for its terrible cost to our nation. It is the war we paid an unimaginably high price in lives. From our nation of fewer than 8 million, more than 650,000 citizen soldiers enlisted, and more than 66,000 were killed. Another 170,000 were wounded, and another 1,305 Newfoundlanders, then not part of Canada, were killed also during the war. Aujourd'hui, l'équivalent pour une paix quatre fois plus grande serait de 250 000 morts. 600 000 autres personnels ont subi des blessures physiques ou psychologiques. Imaginez la peine et le choc que ces épreuves ont pu causer. But it's important to not just focus on the losses, to not just focus on the dead. Canadians at the time did not do that. An equally critical strand of memory, and one that reverberates to this day, is that which saw the nation embark on a significant step forward towards full political autonomy. Now, of course, you will remember that Canada went to war in August 1914 because Britain was at war. We, as a dominion within the empire, had no say over the matter. 4 years later, Canada was bruised and battered, but proud of its role during the war, where it stood shoulder to shoulder with its allies and was now more willing to step out from under Britain's shadow. In this museum, we present that evolution and the many ways it was achieved. Critical to our emerging sense of identity were Canada's fighting forces on the ground, which distinguished themselves in battle. By the midpoint of the war, the Canadian Corps, 100,000 strong, and consisting of Canadians from across the country, all regions, all religions, was widely recognized as a shock formation to be thrown into the most difficult battles. Les victoires de Vimy, Hill 70, Passchendaele, ainsi que l'offensive de Saint-Jour, the 100 Days campaign, ont permis de se tailler d'une réputation de troupe d'élite. Nos troupes étaient dirigées par deux de meilleurs commandants divisionnaires de la guerre, Sir Julian Byng, né en Grande-Bretagne, et Sir Arthur Currie, né au Canada. Pour appuyer les opérations au sol, nous avons excellé dans la guerre aérienne. William Barker, Raymond Collishaw, Billy Bishop figuraient parmi les aides à l'aviation dans l'Empire. Notre réputation nous a coûté cher à la vie humaine, mais à la fin de la guerre, bien de gens sentaient que le Canada avait beaucoup changé, même si la route vers l'indépendance était encouragée très longue. Now, if there was and remains a justifiable pride in those terrible wartime exertions, we must acknowledge that the war also nearly tore the country apart. It's often forgotten that Canadians supported the Allied war effort with our enormous wheat surpluses. In effect, we fed the Allied nations. We also manufactured millions of shells to the point where 1/4 of all the British shells fired on the Western Front after 1917 were manufactured in Canada. Like our land army, Canada punched far above its weight in the crucial battles of food and munition supply. But the leaders of the day also encouraged and then pressured hundreds of thousands to enlist. As the war dragged on and the casualties rose, the war was transformed into a crusade. It's worth remembering at the time that this conflict was called the Great War for Civilization. Now that means something. Canada, it was said by many, would pay any price in the pursuit of victory. But other questions questioned the extent of the commitment. Was Canada truly threatened? Where were the Germans? The rising tension eventually culminated in the 1917 federal election over conscription. Now, this conflict has been simplistically portrayed as English versus French. If there were tens of thousands in Ontario who opposed conscription, and tens of thousands more in Quebec who supported it. La division s'est entendue au syndicat qui remettre en cause l'importance de la guerre. Pourtant, la majority de soldats de France venaient de la classe ouverte. Majority of soldiers came from the working classes. The farmers were condemned when the prices rose through inflation, but they too were feeding the war effort. The war was tearing the country apart, and the strain led to a legacy of disunity that is as important to mark as that of the war as a change event that moved Canada towards greater independence and a new sense of national identity. Now, there are other wartime legacies that are with us today, and I'm just wrapping up here. This is the war that brought in income tax. Temporarily, it was said, but still here today. This is the war in which some women received the right to vote for the first time at the federal level. In a darker strain of fear and uncertainty, this is the war where some 8,000 suspected Germans and Ukrainian Canadians were interned. And it remains a dark stain in Canadian history. It's the war where I mentioned we paid a terrible price in lives. The price is evident in the memorials across this country, in the thousands of towns that carry the names of the fallen. They are there to this day, in every town where you grew up and where you make your homes today. The memorials are there with the names of the fallen. C'est aussi pendant la guerre que les Autochtones et les Noirs ont été acceptés dans l'armée, alors que le droit était très limité au pays. It's the war where thousands and tens of thousands of wounded veterans came back, and we set up a national health care program to care for them, perhaps the first national health care program in our history. There are the symbols of the war, la Première Guerre mondiale, de mon vivant aujourd'hui. Pensons, par exemple, au poème, au chant d'honneur de John McCrae, aux les coquelicots, aux 2 minutes de silence qui ont observé dans l'occasion solennelle, sans oublier le jour du souvenir. Pensons aussi le monument commémoratif de guerre du Canada, près de la colline du Parlement, au mémorial de Vimy, ou au la Mémorial Terre Nouvelle de Beaumont NL. The First World War history and legacy is complex. Here at the Canadian War Museum, we try to embrace that complexity and to share with all Canadians these important stories. And I thank you tonight for helping us to do that. History challenges us. It forces us to reconsider what we know. But it can bring great knowledge, a better sense of who we are, of what we were, and what we might strive for together. Merci. Thank you.